Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Prophetess Crystal McQueen, and once again, welcome to my broadcast, Prophetic Atmosphere. So glad that you're able to join me this evening. I'm excited tonight. Just want to thank all of my supporters, amen, that have been supporting Women of Prophetic Destiny, Prophetic Atmosphere, as well as Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We love each and every one of you. We bless you, and we actually pray, amen, for all of you that this show is blessing your life and that you are allowing the Father to help you walk out your kingdom assignment and in your lifestyle, amen, that you are aligning your life up with His Word, amen. Just want to give quick announcements and then get right into the Word on this evening. Every Tuesday and every Saturday, Tuesday at 7 p.m., Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join us for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast with none other than Apostle Christopher McQueen. On Thursday night at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. And you can hear every broadcast that we have live at www.ctkr.org. That is our website. We do pray and ask that you would become a prayer partner as well as a vision partner and financial partner with this ministry, helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Amen. If any of you would like information about our ministry, would like to invite myself or Apostle McQueen at any of your engagements, amen, or just need prayer in general, as you're on our website, go to the contact page, amen, find the information there, follow the directions, and someone will get in contact with you within 12 to 24 hours. Amen. Amen. Also want to let you know that Christ the King, Redemptive Ministries, as well as Women of Prophetic Destiny, has a Facebook page. Many of you have been going to our Facebook pages and liking us there. We just ask that you would continue to hit us up on the Facebook and let us know how this ministry is blessing your life, as well as let us know what God is doing in your life. Amen. We want to hear from you. Amen. Also want to give a final word to let you know that we are definitely updating our website. Amen. We're working on it. But in the meantime, it is still active. Amen. Just bear with us, and you will definitely going to see some changes before 2014 is out. Amen and amen. Well, people of God, those are the announcements for this evening. Let us pray, and then let us get right into this word. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. God, we bless you. Hallelujah. God, we thank you. We praise you. We glorify you. I bless your holy name. I magnify your name because you are God. I thank you for this day. This is the day that you have made. I thank you for this evening, this moment, this hour, this set time in history. I thank you for your people's lives. I thank you for their destinies that you have called them to. In the name of Jesus, God, I thank you that you're taking your people higher. I thank you that you're taking your people deeper, deeper in the mysteries of your word, deeper in the mysteries of your will, deeper in the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Thank you. God, thank you that you're shifting your people out of the dark places. Yes, God. I thank you. You're shifting your people out of dark places, out of obscurity, that you're bringing them forward now with Rastafari. Yes, God, with the word of the kingdom in their belly. Yes, God. Thank you, God, that you're bringing your people forth now with the word of the kingdom in their belly and in their mouth, in the name of Jesus, and a sword in their hand. God, I thank you that you're giving your people the boldness to fight against the powers of darkness. I thank you, God, that you're birthing a spirit of obedience in your people, in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for signs, wonders, and miracles following your people now. In the name of yes, God, we thank you, Father, that you're bringing your people into a new dimension in you. God, we thank you that your word is shifting and shaking them now. We thank you, God, that your word is bringing forth manifestation in our lives in the name of Jesus. You said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. God, we thank you for the new mind now. We thank you for the boldness now. We thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost now. We thank you for deliverance now. We thank you for the kingdom assignment now in the name of Jesus. Father, right now, as you're beginning to bring your people with clarity, into clarity and understanding concerning your word. As you're setting your watchmen and watchwomen on the wall, that you're giving them a boldness, that they will cry aloud and not, that they will not be moved to the left or to the right, but that they will stay the path, that they will stay the path of righteousness, that they will stay the path of holiness, that they will stay the path of what you called them to do. In the name of Jesus, oh God, we thank you now that you've given, putting in your people the love of Jesus Christ, that they can love whoever and whatever is in front of them, God, that they can show the love of Christ, and yet at the same time they can cast out the devil and render his power null and void. In the name God, I pray right now that you're beginning to birth the preacher out. Thank you, God, that you're beginning to work a pure word out in the name, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the purity of your word. We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for the anointing of your word, the anointing of the Holy Ghost to preach the gospel to the poor. In the name of Jesus, helping us to lay hands on the sick and watching them recover. Oh, God, right now, we thank you that you're birthing out that intercessor. We thank you, God, you're birthing out that evangelist. We thank you, God, we're birthing out men and women of God that are going to stand for purity, stand for sanctification, stand for holiness and righteousness, that will fulfill the purpose that you have on their lives. We bless your name, God. We thank you right now. Oh, God, right now in Jesus' name. Father, we ask that you would just wash us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wash us in your blood. Wash us and cleanse us. Take everything out of us, God, that does not represent you. Take out bad attitudes. Take out false ideologies. God, remove the blinders off of our eyes. Father, remove the fear now. remove the disappointment now, God. Let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us. Oh, God, take the excuses out of our mouths right now. Cleanse and deliver, God. Break every chain over our lives, even the chains that the words that we have spoken over our own lives, that we have birthed out of our own mouths. Break it and destroy it now. Let the words fall to the ground. Uproot them now in the name of Jesus. Help us to change our mindset. Help us to change our words. Help us to speak as the oracle of God. Help us to speak as you speak according to your word. We bless your name. We thank you right now. We glorify you now. We thank you for the healing, God. We thank you for the healing, God, of that cancer, for the healing, God, of that blood clot. We thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. You're healing that broken heart. Thank you. We thank you. Pull out, take out that sting. Take out that depression. Take out that sorrow, Father. In the name of Jesus, let it not go down to the grave. Let them not be depressed going down to the grave. Help them in their grieving hour, God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, God, we bless your name. We bless your name. We bless your name. We bless your name. You are holy and righteous. No one else like you. We love you, God. We bless your holy name. We lift our hands up. We say yes again to your will. We say yes again to your way. We say yes again. We say yes again to your purpose, God, for our lives. Help us, your people, get back on the street called straight. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, we glorify you. We thank you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Right wherever you are, man and woman of God, people of God, just give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah. Right wherever you are, just lift up your hand, open up your mouth, just tell them thank you. He's worthy. Just tell him thank you. You may not have a chance to tell him thank you all day, but now is your perfect time. Now is the right time to just tell him for being able to eat lunch today. Thank you that you showed me favor. Thank you for a quiet evening. Whatever it may be, thank you for allowing me to get through traffic. Thank you. Thank you that my children are okay. Thank you I have a roof over my head. Thank you that you have paid the bills. Maybe all bills aren't paid, but you know what? The life is still on. Thank you, Lord. And even if for those of you who may be saying, Prophetess, I'm going through right now. I'm sitting up here in the dark, but you know what? You got a candle. Tell them thank you for the candle. Thank you for the flashlight. It's in all things, the Bible said, that we must give thanks. You may not like everything that is going on, and I know we don't like everything that we're going through, but yet in our spirit and in our mouths, we must always have a thank you, always have a heart of gratitude unto the Father. Huh? We must always have gratitude unto the Father. We can murmur and complain all day long. It takes no effort in doing that, but it takes effort to rejoice. Rejoice, the Bible says, and again I say, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Huh? You got to give him some glory sometimes. Paul said, whatever state that I am in, I have learned to be content. And for some of us, that's our problem right now. As my husband used to say, or it does say, in Jesus alone. I'm not talking being satisfied and being mediocre. I'm not talking being satisfied and staying in the pit. I'm not talking about that. But while you're in the place of transition, you need to be lifting up your hands. While you're in the place of transition, you need to be keeping your mind on the Lord. While you're in a place of transition, you need to always be blessing him. While you're in the place of do you understand what I'm saying tonight? While you're in the place of transition, I will trust in the Lord. I don't have nothing to be happy about. God never said this be easy. And for those of us who have been sitting up in churches talking about you need to be living the good life always, well, let me tell you something. The devil is a lie, because there are moments and there are times that God will have you go through the deepest pit, the deepest valley. All the while he's guiding you, amen, but all the while he's protecting you. And every time you get into that low place, and then when you rise up out of the ashes and rise up out the pit, you begin to know God in a new level and a new place that you have never known him before. Do I have a witness out there, somebody? There were times, amen, that I have been in a dark place and dark places, amen, lowly places. And I'm saying that to say this. When I was in those places, that's when God began to reveal and begin to manifest himself to me. That's when I began to know him in a new way. He was more than just my grandmother's God. He was more than just my mother's God, my father's God, my grandfather's God. Now he started to become my God, my Lord, and my King. And for some of you, that's what God is trying to do with you. He's trying to become your God, your Lord, your King, but you're fighting the process. You're fighting the situation. You're fighting the circumstances because somebody preached to you and told you you need to be living the good life at all times. And if you're not living the good life, you done sinned somewhere. Well, let me help you. Sometimes sin is not even in the situation. It's just the fact that you have purpose and power in you, that God has ordained you and predestined you for something great. And while he's doing that, he's positioning you. He's prepping you, he's preparing you. So he's put you on the back burner somewhere and he's chipping away at you. He's beginning to mold you and shape you into his image and into his character or his likeness, so that when he brings you out, brings you forward unto great men and women, you will not be shifted. You won't be swayed. Your message will not change, because you will know your God, and the God that you serve will know you. I want to free somebody tonight. It's not always that you have sin in your life. Now, if you do have sin in your life, then you need to ask for forgiveness, and you need to make a 180, and you need to get that stuff together, put it on the altar, repent, turn, and get yourself right. But there's some situations that the Lord allows us to go through that it's no fault of our own. We're just going through it because you are just anointed. You need to tell somebody you're going through it because you're anointed. Don't let nobody make you feel bad or feel less than because you're going through it. You're going through it, baby, because you're anointed. The devil knows you're anointed. The demons in hell, you know that you're anointed. God himself knows you're anointed. But he needs you to recognize that you are anointed. And when you begin to recognize the anointing on your life and the purpose on your life, then you'll start speaking some things and watching the manifest. I don't know who that was for, but I pray that you take it, apply it to your life, and go on with Jesus. Amen. Don't let nobody make you feel guilty. Know that you have an anointing. I got sin in my life. Condemnation. Again, if there is sin, we need to repent. That's what it's for. But if you know you're living all you know how, need to go to Job, the book of Job, and talk to him. Need to go to some of the apostles. Amen. They were living all they knew how. But God still allowed them to go through and suffer, amen, for his glory. Jesus said, you will be hated because for my name's sake. We got to get this thing together and start reading the Bible, people of God, and really understand that those who are truly called and anointed by him, and he has their hand, his hand up on them, you're not going to be liked and loved by everybody. And if you are, something is wrong. Oh, yes, it is. Something is wrong. That means you're not being effective in the kingdom. Because when you're truly being effective in the kingdom and in your assignment, then everything that is not like God begins to rise up against you. Everything that's not like God begins to shake around you. But you got to know the power of who lives on the inside of you. I'm not saying be foolish. I'm not saying be crazy. Amen. There needs to be some balance somewhere. But at the same time, we really need to get clarity. And the Bible says, in all thy getting, get a full. I added that word full, but get an understanding. Get an understanding. Get in this word for yourself and begin to eat of it and ask God to reveal his word to you, to bring understanding. He said, if any of you lack wisdom, God is not a respecter of person. If any of us lack wisdom, he said to ask him, and he will give it unto you. He does, and abradeth not. He doesn't care. You don't have to be male or female. He doesn't care. All he knows is that you're asking for wisdom. If you ask, you shall receive. But always look into the leadership. The true leadership will point you always back to Jesus. If you have leadership that's constantly pointing you back to them and making you believe that the only way you can get to God is through them, the devil is a lie. You can get to God for yourself. We have leaders, amen. God has put things in order. I'm not disrupting order. I'm not saying don't follow protocol, don't submit. I'm not saying any of that. That's from the pit of hell as well. We got to come into alignment. But I'm saying if you have leaders that will not teach you how to get to God for yourself, that's what I'm talking about. We even as the sheep, need to learn how to take those trainings that men and women of God are giving us so that we can become dependent upon God and not on man or woman. My whole purpose for being in leadership is not to get the people to depend upon me, but to get the people to depend upon him who sent me so that they can know God for themselves. Because if anything happened, I'm not going to be here forever. If I decide, I tell my people all the time, if I decide one day to get up and go crazy and say there is no God and fall off the side of the cliff, you pray for me, but you keep going towards the master. Follow me as I follow Christ. The minute that I don't start following Christ, you need to find another church. That's what I tell my members. And I still uphold this to this day. If I don't preach Christ to you, if I'm not pointing you to where he is, then you need to check out here, say this is it. In fact, I'm taking my tithe and my offering with me because I can no longer deposit my seed into this ground. And I need to go somewhere where he is because right now it ain't here. Pray my way back. Pray for me. Cover me in the blood. Pray my way back. But keep going, baby. Keep going. Too often we sit here. I don't even know why I'm talking about this tonight, but this is raising up in my spirit. Too often we sit in dead churches. We sit in lifeless churches. We sit in churches where people have become idols unto us, and we are not, and they fell off, and they are no longer following Christ, and we're sitting at their table, and instead of eating meat that has been prepared and seasoned correctly, we're sitting here eating meat that has been spoiled, bread that is molded. And we're sitting here getting sick and sicker by the week, by the day. And we'll sit here and say, I know I need to do better, but I just don't know about it. I don't want to leave. My family's here. My friends are here. I have all these attachments. You got to cut everything off that's not like him. And in this season 2014, God is cutting away people around us because they've been sucking the life out of us. They've been sucking the anointing out of us. And it's even reciprocated because we don't want to let them go. So we're allowing them to latch on to us and suck the life out of us. Well, God is getting ready to help you tonight, and he's going to cut the umbilical cords of some of us in the spirit. So don't get it twisted. Don't get upset because all of a sudden now they start turning on you. Don't get upset all because of now they start finding fault with you. Don't get upset because of now they can't stand you when you come around. Don't get upset because they start running you down. Don't get upset. It's just God cutting the umbilical cord because he's got to get you to the place where he needs you to go because he has need of you. The master has need of you. Hallelujah. Now, the actual scripture, amen, that I'm going to, that the Lord had me veer from temporarily, but he's saying go back now. I'm talking tonight about the mission of the 70. In the book of Luke, chapter verses 1, we're going to read down to a few verses on tonight, and then we're going to carry on as the Holy Spirit deems it so. Jesus is preparing his disciples and those who are following him for the true mission and the true call of what he has designed for them. Book of Luke chapter 10, starting at the first verse, says this, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city. Power, two or three can come together, except they agree. Into every city, place where he himself was about to go. I'm going to stop right there just for a second. If your man or woman of God, your pastor, your leader decides, amen, that you have been sitting in the congregation long enough, he sees that you have taken on some credibility. He's been watching your life. He sees that there's some integrity. He sees, as the old saints used to say, we see Christ in you. When we start seeing Christ in you, then we start, as a teacher, as you're sitting in a classroom, I'm going to switch it and make it clear like this. Even in a classroom setting, a teacher will begin to teach a lesson. And after so many lessons, then becomes quizzes. They start quizzing you on what you have learned. Here it is, Jesus is doing the same thing. He's like, you've been walking with me for some time now, and now we're getting ready to quiz you. I'm getting ready to quiz you because I need to see what you know. I need to see what's in you, as the old folks used to say. He said that after these things, the Lord appointed 70 also, others also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. So in other words, I'm getting ready to go on a mission trip, and these are certain places, but I can't get everywhere for myself. My heart wants to go, but so what I'm going to do? So what I'm going to do is pour my trainings into you, and then I'm going to send you to these places, and if it's done right, you will speak and say the same thing that your leader said, or speak and say the same thing that I would say. So men and women of God, if your pastor or your leader is beginning to give you responsibility to start going out to these different places and beginning to give you the responsibility to preach or the responsibility to teach and go in his stead or her stead, do not take that thing lightly at all. Number one, the first thing that your leader is doing is testing you. They're testing your mettle and seeing what it is that's on the inside of you. But first of all, before they send you out, they got to hear what you have to say. Now, it boggles the mind, as my pastor used to say, don't be a wonder out of somebody else's church and you can't be a wonder in the house. We have a lot of people that want to be wonders and grand and great outside of their house, but when they get inside the house, you can't even hear two. They can't even find two scriptures to put together. But you want to be the great, grand, wonderful evangelist of the Most High on the outside. The same, we need to see what you got here. Well, for those of you who the pastor or the leader says, okay, I trust you, you got it, you prove it yourself. Now I'm going to send you out in my stead. I want to go over here, but I can't move right now. I've got other engagements going on. But instead, I'm going to send you in my stead because I'm trusting you. I'm testing the mettle in you, and I'm going to see how you're going to act when I release you. Now, your job, men and women of God, is to go and preach a simplistic, anointed message. That's not the time to go there and try to get your entourage. That's not the time to go there and take three or four other armor bearers with you. That is not your job. That is not your place. That is definitely not your purpose. You're there to go and preach Jesus and him alone. Don't try to hold the people there for 6 hours. Don't try to think that you're the pastor. Go there and give them the message that God has given you. Begin to minister effectively to the people and then sit down and allow the men and women of God from that place to send a report back to your leader and to let them know how you're doing. You should not have to toot your own horn. If the job has been done effectively by the Holy Ghost using you, then that report will go back. Their words will reach the man or woman of God's ear to let them know that you have done what you have been designed to do. That's not the time. I'm telling the truth because I'm not talking just to be talking. I'm talking about what I know and have experienced.
experience. That is not the time to go out, because the reality is that pastor is putting, you're going out on the name of that church, the pastor church, and on the name of that pastor. He's or vesting you, in other words. So that's not the time to go crazy. That's not the time to run down a ministry. That's not the time to talk about all the issues and all the underbelly stuff that's going on in your house. That's not the time for that, because you don't know who's at the table with you. You don't know who knows who, and you don't know the relationships people have. So that's not your time to start trying to shine your light. Understand it. Ministry 101, do your job, what you're called to do, minister to the people, give a good solid word, and then set down. We don't want to hear that, but I need to tell somebody, sit down, be humble. Be humble. Sit down and let the message, let the victory, let whatever happens, amen, go before you. Let the people say how great, grand, and wonderful you are. That ain't, we don't need to hear your tune, your story, your side. Let the people come and say, the man of God was wonderful. Signs, wonders, and miracles happened. God used that man. God used that woman. The person couldn't walk, but now they can. People were filled with the Holy Ghost. Folks got saved. They preached a life-changing message. Oh, my God, look what they've done. Let the people tell that pastor, that leader, what you've done. Back to the word. And after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, this is Jesus talking, he said, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. In Matthew 7 and 37, he says to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Let me stop there for 5 seconds. We have too many people that want the title, but they don't want to do the work. We have too many people that want to wear the clothing. They want to look the part. We got a lot of spiritual imposters. Yeah, I said it. We have a lot of spiritual imposters. They can impersonate all kinds of people, all kinds of holiness, all kinds of anointing. But when it comes down to being perfected, when it comes down to being sanctified, when it comes down to separating, when it comes down to fasting, when it comes down to getting in this word, and when it comes down to prayer and seeking after him, when it comes down to denying yourself, when it comes down to sometimes being in a place of lack your own self, when it comes down to people talking about you, when it comes down to when nobody wants to even hear your message, when it comes down to the things where God begins to pull up your stuff and pull up the things that are that keep you up at night and want you to deal with things, people don't want to go through that. They want the glory. They want the fantastic. Show me the money, in other words. Everybody wants that, but nobody wants to deal with the reality of what it means to really deal with a soul. It's more than just you preaching on a Wednesday, a Tuesday, a Saturday, or a Sunday. People have real issues with real problems, with real circumstances going on in their minds and in their lives. Amen? And they need to see a God that can deal with every issue. And sometimes, man or woman of God, you have to walk with them while they go through the process. We don't want to deal with that. If they're not turning around by 3 months, we're ready to kick them out. Now, I'm only talking about, well, you don't even understand because this person is crazy. I'm not talking about those who are rebellious. I'm not talking about those who've been sent on assignment from Satan himself. I'm not talking about those. I'm not talking about those people that refuse to be submitted and refuse to obey and church hop from place to place looking for somebody that's going to ordain their mess. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people that really want to be delivered, really want to have God to show up in their lives. people who are broken and bruised and have issues and don't understand, and they're looking for a real God that can help them put it back together. Let's be honest. It took a real God to put you back together. It took a real God to put me back together. And if we really, really want to be real, he's still working on some cracks and some crevices. He's doing some plastering over here, huh? Come on now, let's be honest about it. He's still repainting some things. He's tearing down some walls, digging up some rotted areas in my life. And I know I'm not the only one by myself. He's doing it in your life too. You weren't always fabulous and wonderful like you are now. So you got to have the same respect and the same patience with somebody that has the same patience and respect for you. He said, but the harvest is great. The people are ready. I know it don't look like it. I know right now it don't look like nobody want to be saved. It doesn't look like nobody wants to be delivered. It sure don't look like there's no power nowhere. But the Holy Ghost is in the earth. And the Holy Ghost is still doing miracles. And the miracles are all not overseas and in these third world countries. They're right here in the United States of America. Somebody has not given up. Somebody has not turned over, turned their back on Jesus. Somebody is standing on his word. Somebody is abiding in his word and his will. Somebody has the anointing. Somebody has the power. Huh? God is still on the throne. You just have to submit. You just have to be willing to die to yourself. You just have to be willing to believe that he's going to do everything he said he's going to do in your life. You just have to believe, you're just going to have to walk out that process. You're going to have to go from the pit to the mountain. I know they want to say from the pit to the palace. I don't like using the word palace because for some of us, depending on the calls that we have on our lives, we're not going to the palace. Some of us will be going to the palace, but you're going to the palace to preach Jesus. Hey, yes, God. Thank you. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Because there's people that are calling and are calling for you. There are people that God has predestined you to meet and minister to, and you cannot have a second thought in your mind about who they are, who you're standing in front of. You can't worry about how famous they are or unfamous they are. You can't worry about how trifling they are or untrifling. You can't worry about how much money they have in their pocket. If the Lord sends you, he's going to send you with a message in your mouth, and that message cannot change. That's the one thing I loved about Paul. Paul's message never changed, no matter if he was in chains, no matter if he was on the top of the mountain, no matter if he was in the valley low, no matter if he was floating in the water on the broken pieces that we so much like to preach about, no matter what he was doing and where he was at, the message never changed. And that's Christ crucified, dying for our sins, raised from the dead. And we need to be saved and born again and going from there and fulfilling the kingdom call on our lives. Well, prophetess, you keep talking about the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom. The Bible says not meat or drink. We have to understand our kingdom assignment. What were you birthed for? I'm not talking about just birth from mommy's womb. I'm talking about when you were born again. When you were born again. I'm taking it from that perspective because, yes, I understand. In reality, if God birthed you in this earth, he birthed you for a purpose. I get that. I understand that. But I'm saying once you decided that he put his hand upon you and said, I want you, and you said yes to him, you have a kingdom purpose. There's something he has specifically designed for you to do. There's a task that he has specifically per plan created, established for you to fulfill. And we got to get about doing it. The harvest is great. It's truly great. But the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Listen, this is Jesus talking. Before you and I were even born, he was already saying in layman's terms, listen, these folks are fake. They're not trying to do anything. They're trying, and not everybody, please hear me right now. Please hear me right now. I'm not talking about everybody. I know for a fact there are true men and women of God. I'm not trying to preach a message here. Hear my heart in the people of God. I dare not preach a message that I'm the only one saved and everybody's on their way to hell. That's a lie. That's definitely not something I'm trying to preach or would ever teach because that's not true. But what Jesus is saying, and I concur with what he's saying, there are many people, as I said before, who are imposters, spiritual imposters. They have no intention on ministering to souls. They have no intention on dealing with life's issues and circumstances and helping people to overcome and showing people that there's a real God that handles real problems. And you don't have to stay like you are. There is peace at the end of this thing. There's light at the end of this tunnel. That light, L-I-G-H-T, is the light of men, the life of men, which is Jesus Christ. And that's what people need to not only see, but it needs to be effective in their lives. But they need to see it in us first, people of God. And there's many. It's why he says the harvest is great. They're ready. They're looking. They're searching. They're waiting. Somebody got to be saved. Somebody got to have the answer here. He said, but the laborers are few. The laborers, the leaders, those who are called. And when I say leaders, everybody's not in the pulpit. Anyone he has put a purpose in, you're a leader. We're all called to preach Jesus Christ to somebody. We're all ambassadors. The laborers are few, but therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. Yes, I love it. I love it. You are God's field, and we're also God's building. People need to run to us and find safety. I didn't say what we have done, what so many have done in the church is that people run to us and they find safety and acceptance that they don't have to change their lifestyle. They don't have to change their way of thinking. They don't have to change their way of living and doing things. So they sit up here and fill our churches. Fill our houses, and we, because they got the money and they got the clout and they seem to have the worldly power, the things that we like and want, so we'll sit there and we'll keep quiet and we'll preach the feel-good messages and we'll preach the motivational messages and we'll preach the 1, 2, 3, you can have this in your life in 3 easy steps. We'll preach those messages, but we won't preach kingdom. Kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will on the earth, his will must be done in me. We don't challenge people to change because when people are challenged, they're not always your friend. They're not always liking things. They're not always accepting. They're not always grateful. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when people run to us, they must be able to run with safety. That we're not pushing them out the door or beating them down with the word, talking about they'll never arrive to our level. And they ought to be grateful that somebody recognized them and opened up the door for them. And acceptance to let us know that while you are here, amen, you come as you are, but doggone it, we're going to challenge you with this word every chance we get, but you're going to change if you want them. And while you're going through the change, we know you're going to slip, we know you're going to fall, but as you're willing to seek after him, as you're willing to love God with everything that's within you, as you're willing to reach for him, we're working with you as you're going through the change, but we're your building for protection. So we don't let the devil just come and run rampant all over you. He said, therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And then he said in verse 3, go your way. This is Jesus still talking. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag. I'm going to talk about that for a second, and I'm definitely going on. People of God, nothing is wrong with being honored.
We understand that this is a ministry. We understand for those of us who are in full-time ministry, it is a job. We get it. We understand that you got to make a living. I get it. I understand it. However, what I don't understand is when you're charging people out the wazoo for you to come and preach a mealy-mouth message that ain't delivering nobody. Ain't delivering nobody. Ain't shaking me. Isn't making me mad or angry. A word that doesn't make me, cause me to think. What do you mean? What do you mean, prophetess? You getting mad at the word? Let's be real. There's sometimes God begins to speak to you, and you know you like what you're doing. You know you're comfortable where you are, and he's screaming at you that you need to get that mess together. You need to change. You need to come out of it. You need to let it go. You need to loose it. You like, I ain't trying to loose nothing. I'm not the, and I don't care what the, we try to make every excuse as to the reason why we want to stay the way that we are. Yes, you get mad at this word. This word doesn't always come to bring comfort. The word will make you angry at times. It's sweet in your mouth, but it's bitter in your belly. It will come to shake up some stuff. The real word of God, when somebody's preaching and it's attached with that anointing, it will shake some things in you. It will cause you to fall on your face and repent. It'll cause you to turn and look some other way. Sometimes it just make you angry. It'll make you angry. But when you time that God will call you on assignment, that when you minister to that church, they're not going to have everything that you need. They're not going to have it. And I know there's some messed up churches out there. I know it is. I know some folks, they got like a line, a whole list of things, don't preach this, don't preach that, some bunch of rules and regulations, full of religion, full of demons. But they want you to come and minister a little quick word. But we'll pay you. Listen here. Time out for all of this, to an agreement so much that now that the body of Christ is weak. We got people that are filling churches who have no power, have no strength, have no purpose, have no assignment, living any kind of lifestyle. And I'm not just pointing out one particular lifestyle, living any kind of way and are happy about it, not challenged to change, not even convicted by the Holy Ghost to change. They come in, I gave my offering, I gave my time, I met my people, I did my meetings, and I'm okay, I'm going to go home and I'm going to grab this, I'm going to do this, and I'm doing the exact same thing I did when I came to the altar. Nothing has changed in my life. When the real Holy Ghost gets a hold of you, anything you want to do, everything it is to please him, you pick up something where you he'll say, why you got that in your mouth? You feel convicted. Conviction. I didn't say condemnation. I said conviction. There is a difference. He convicts you so that you can draw back to him. That's how much he loves us. He said, why you say that? Don't say that. Get away from that. You know you don't need to be going over his house. You know you need to get up out of her bed. You know you need to leave that alone. Quit going over there smoking that. Leave that club life alone. Why you stealing that money? What you doing? The conviction. When you didn't have the Holy Ghost, wasn't nobody convicted for nothing. You just did what you wanted to do, and it was all right with you. I had a conscience. I couldn't do everything. No, you might not have did everything, but there's some things that you did that you were not convicted for. That was still wrong. But you have the nerve. There's times he's going to send you. Oh, I haven't left what I was going to say. There's times he's going to send you on assignment, and the money's not going to be there. But you need to deliver the word. Don't become a burden on the people because they don't have your money. Minister the word. Let God handle the rest. And he will. There have been times that I've ministered the word, went long places on my own dime. Thank you very much. Got there. Wasn't nothing there. Stayed in a little crusty hotel. I was like, oh, God, Jesus. But they did the best. They were loving people. They did the best that they could do.
They received the word. Lives were changed. But yet the next place that God allowed me to go to, they made up for what the other place or the other church could not do. Am I against people getting paid? No, not at all. I'm not against people getting paid. But my thing is, if you're getting paid, then you need to bring the power of God. In other words, you need to bring it for what you're asking for. And there are men and women of God that have the power and the anointing in their life that bring the noise. And not only the noise, but they bring the power with them. And we don't mind, you don't mind giving. But when you're asking me to give, and you up here bringing, Mary had a little lamb, and his name was Jesus. I'm going to leave that alone. So he says, carry nothing with you. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandal, and greet no one along the road. In other words, when you're on assignment, when he sends you on a mission, this isn't the time to get distracted. You got to stay focused. And how many of you out there, and I know I'm not the only one, the time that you have to minister, any other time, you got a whole bunch of time on your hands. Do a whole lot of nothing. But the minute that you have to minister, that's when everything wants to come up. All kind of meetings, all kind of gatherings, all kind of issues. Everything wants to come up right when you have to minister a word of the Lord. That's why he said, listen, don't get distracted. Don't worry about the money. Don't worry about trying to pack some food. Don't get no sandals. Greet nobody along the road. And I guarantee I know somebody, I can hear it. You know what? The only reason why you're saying that is because you ain't got it. You ain't at my level. Well, here's the reality. You don't even know if I'm at your level or not. Just because you haven't heard my name or you haven't seen me doesn't mean I'm not at your level. We're not going to see everybody. There's people out there that are doing it well, and doing it big. And you will never hear their names. You'll never see their names in lights. You'll never see their name on the television or the radio. But they are fulfilling the call of God on their life and doing it wonderfully, not asking for any accolades, but heaven is smiling upon them and pleased with them. So be careful how we open up our mouths talking about who ain't doing nothing. I'm going to let that marinate for just a second because somebody needs to know we too quick as a people to always talk about who ain't got it, who ain't doing it, and they need to get like me. When in reality, they're probably doing it better than you and greater than you, and you need to get like them. He said, go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter first, say, peace to this house. So wherever I send you on assignment, you enter in, you begin to minister, and the people receive, you leave your peace. And the anointing, you're ministering the word, you're going forth, and people's hearts and their minds are open to receive. Peace to the house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. In other words, how often many times have you been ministering? I know I've experienced this. I'm ministering the word. And instead of the word going out, it bounces back at you. Or you can feel the atmosphere, the spiritual climate of a house. And you know when the people are receiving and when you know they're not. So he says if they're receiving it, say peace and your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And people of God, it is not our business to try to make people receive or believe in us.
or believe and receive the word that we're preaching. We have to keep in mind at all times that they're not rejecting us, but it's the word of God that is in us. It's Christ who they're rejecting. We can't take on that weight. You begin to take on the weight, the devil will make sure that you keep your mouth shut at all times. That's why he told Jeremiah to set your face like flint. And for 2014, some of us need to set our faces like flint and quit jumping and screaming and listening to these voices talking about they don't like me and I don't know what they did and I didn't do nothing to them and they need to we need to get delivered in that spirit. We need to get rid of that spirit of sensitivity, extra sensitivity, all that extraness. We need to put it on the altar. Because in reality, you're not going to always have a popular word. In reality, you don't even have to preach a message. People just ain't going to like you. It just is what it is. Everybody's not going to like you, and you're not going to like everybody. Now that we got that revelation, understand this. When you minister the word of God, you have to understand everybody's not, every demon, every person is not going to be happy that you're in there ministering the word of truth. That you can't change the message because they're looking at you with a stank face or the stone face. Verse 5, once again, he says, "For whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. Peace is there. Your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you and remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as, and remain in the same house, verse 7, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his wages." So like I said before, I'm not against money. I'm not against men and women of God receiving payment. I'm not against that at all. I do it too for a living. I understand. But at the same time, I don't understand with trying to have rock star wages and you only giving minute word. You want rock star wages, but you giving nursery rhymes and cliches when you preach. Rock star wages, but you can't even pray for nobody during the altar call. You giving the microphone back and that's it. And again, there's some houses, amen, and I'm leaving it here, and then I'll move as we go pray. But we have to remember that there's places that God will send you. They will not have what you need. But you have to trust them that when you go next, he'll make sure that you will receive what you need. Understand that it's not your purpose, that you don't have a call upon your own. You haven't called yourself. He called you. And that you are bought with a price, amen, and whatever God has for you, amen, and his purpose and his call for your life, that's what you say yes and your will to. Come on, let us pray. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, thank you, God, for this word. Father, we thank you for the mission that you are putting on people's lives now, God. I thank you that you're ready to move someone out to begin to minister the word of God effectively, minister without fear, minister without obstacles, minister without defeat, but that they will walk in your power, that they will go forth in your glory, ministering your word, delivering people from the gates of hell, laying hands on the sick, watching people be raised from the dead. I thank you now, God, that this word is challenging us, that we're allowing the things that we have placed upon our own lives and our own ideologies, that they will begin to fall down now in the name of Jesus, that we would begin to take on the mind of Christ and begin to change into your character, God. I thank you for your power and your glory. In Jesus' name, I pray. Now, for those of you who are not saved, just bow your heads and say this in your heart. Father, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart and my life now. Live in me. Holy Spirit, fill me. I will serve you all my days. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. And amen. We pray here at Christ the Kingdom you will find a Bible believing and teaching church that's going to birth you, amen, teach you, train you, grow you up to become a mighty kingdom warrior in the name of Jesus. Listen, go to my website, www.ctkr.org, amen. Let me hear from you and like me on my Facebook page. Once again, thank you again for visiting me right here at Prophetic Atmosphere. And I will see you again, people of God, next week at 7 p.m. Love all of you to life. In Jesus' name, good night.